Alligator mouth. The new man on the crew, and that was the worst food I'd ever had. I mean, it was dog bottom pie and pheasant sweat. Otter water comes out of an otter. It's a terrible, terrible stuff. Some people might think it's a delicacy, but I thought it was garp. So I complained, and they said, "All right, wise guy, you get to be the cook." That made me mad, because I didn't want to cook. But I knew if anybody complained about my cooking, that they were going to have to cook. Armed with that knowledge, I sallied forth over the muddy river. I was walking around among the cheatgrass and bunch grass there, and I looked down, and there was just a hell of a big moose turd. Biggest damn moose turd. That was a real steamer, damn. I looked down at that meadow wafer, and I said to myself, "Self, I'm gonna bake up a big moose turd pie. 'Cause if anybody complains about my cooking, they're gonna have to cook." So I tipped that pasture pastry up on edge. I got my shit together, so to speak. And I started rolling it down toward the old cook car. I got it down there and leaned it up against the side, and I climbed up in the cook car and I baked up a hell of a big pie shell. And I baked that moose turd in it as slick as you please. And I crimped the edges with my thumbs and laid strips of dough across it and garnished it with a sprig of parsley, a little paprika. It was beautiful. Poetry on a plate. And I served it for dessert, waiting for the first hint of a complaint. Well, this giant dude come in, about 5'40". I mean, he was big. Throwed himself down like a fool on the stool. Picked up his fork. Took a big bite of that moose turd pie. Well, he threw down his fork, and he let out a beller, and he yelled, "My God, that's moose turd pie!" It's good, though.
It's a face only a mother could love. No, it was a fabulous. I love you, Ramon. Thank you very much for being here. And Grace Jo, thank you for your testimony. And Big Tim. I got to know Tim as a result of Presidential Leadership Scholars, a program at the Bush Center along with the Clinton Center. And with help from 41 and LBJ's libraries. I am thrilled that friends of ours from Afghanistan, China, North Korea, and Venezuela are here as well. These are people who've experienced the absence of freedom. I mean, they know what it's like. And they know there's a better alternative than tyranny. Laura and I are thrilled that the Bush Center supporters are here. Bernie, I want to thank you and your committee. I call him Bernie. It's amazing to have Secretary Albright share the stage with Condi and Ambassador Haley. For those of you who kind of take things for granted, that's a big deal. Thank you. We are gathered in the cause of liberty. That's why we're here. This is a unique moment. The great democracies face new and serious threats, yet seem to be losing confidence in their own calling and competence. Economic, political, and national security challenges proliferate, and they're made worse by the tendency to turn inward. The health of the democratic spirit itself is at issue, and the renewal of that spirit is the urgent task at hand. Since World War II, America has encouraged and benefited from the global advance of free markets, from the strength of democratic alliances, and from the advance of free societies. At one level, this has been a raw calculation of interest. The 20th century features some of the worst horrors of history because dictators committed them. Free nations are less likely to threaten and fight each other. And free trade helped make America into a global economic power. For more than 70 years, the presidents of both parties believed that American security and prosperity were directly tied to the success of freedom in the world. They knew that the success depended in large part on U.S. leadership. The mission came naturally because it expressed the DNA of American idealism. We know deep down that repression is not the wave of the future. We know that the desire for freedom is not confined to or owned by any culture. It is the inborn hope of our humanity. We know that free governments are the only way to ensure that the strong are just and the weak are valued. And we know that when we lose sight of our ideals, it is not democracy that has failed. It is the failure of those charged with preserving and protecting democracy. This is not to underestimate the historical obstacles to the development of democratic institutions and a democratic culture. Such problems nearly destroyed our country. And that should encourage a spirit of humility and a patience with others. Freedom is not merely a political menu option or a foreign policy fad. It should be the defining commitment of our country and the hope of the world. That appeal is proved not just by the content of people's hopes, but a noteworthy hypocrisy. No democracy pretends to be a tyranny. Most tyrannies pretend they are democracies. Democracy remains the definition of political legitimacy. That has not changed, and that will not change. Yet for years, challenges have been gathering to the principles we hold dear, and we must take them seriously. Some of these problems are external and obvious. Here in New York City,
you know, good morning. Hold on a second here.
Too well. It's being fought.
Are you there, my friend? Oh, okay, there we go.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Moose Turn Cafe. Oh, dear.
Guess what was playing as you dialed in? You can't guess because it was George W. Bush delivering an address yesterday on freedom. And let me just say that the target of this lecture was, I believe, the current president.
Yeah, I think it was the current president and all he espouses. I think that
I thought it was a remarkable, without.
Sure.
I thought
without
it was a
mentioning,
yeah,
he,
right.
He
yeah.
Didn't mention his name. He didn't mention his name. By the way, everybody, today is Friday.
Yeah.
Happy Friday, everybody.
You're listening to the. Go ahead.
It's October 20th. You're listening to the Moose Turn Cafe with your original host, the Dusty Footed Philosopher, Mr. John Case.
That's right, man.
Sometimes sidekick who occasionally throws in some really, really lukewarm impressions, Mr.
Lukewarm hell, man. You know,
I forgot his name, everybody.
Mike Diesel. By the way, it's not lukewarm. I've started to get tweets here, about especially Dr. Lecter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got a couple of tweets yesterday, three actually, about people should tune in to hear this. Ingenious. That was okay word, right, for us, for our little
that's,
effort, right? Okay, we'll
phrase.
Go with that. I don't know how that came up, but whatever,
It's very kind, and I appreciate it.
Right, so
just trying to make a point. And listen, I have given this a great deal of thought, what we discussed yesterday.
Yeah.
Whether that be in IM or text or on the phone.
Yeah.
I just think if you have to write a script on how to behave, you're already 4 weeks late talking about
He's
military
called,
people that have given their life for this country, okay? If right. you don't know how to communicate with their significant others or their members of their family, if you have to have a script and you got up, you've got problems, man.
Well, we
the
got...
The other guy didn't need a script to talk to people.
No, he didn't.
To be a human being.
That's true.
So, no one's talking about that. Mr. Kelly, I appreciate your service. I appreciate your son's service. I'm sorry you lost him. I'm sorry we lost him. But let's go back and also discuss the necessity of this operation in Niger. Let's talk about Chad.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about the loose affiliation and association with ExxonMobil.
Okay, so fill in the blanks there now. Come on, buddy. You know, give us give us a thumbnail. You know, characterization.
You have Al Shabaab and that in Al Qaeda in that, you know, and
right.
And this combination unholy alliance with ISIS, and you know they've been scattered out of that area. But, you know, Niger, Chad seems to be the most well-organized tip of the spear that goes out and hunts these people down and gets rid of them and pushes them out of the area. Now, they've significantly been reduced in numbers, but there's a disconnect in this operation. I've heard four different versions of it from the Pentagon alone.
Okay.
So I don't know what the hell these young men were doing there, but I do know they were there to talk to some people. I do know that they came in and discussed some things. Now, LaDavid Johnson obviously got separated as they took on heavy fire. And he wasn't found until 48 hours later.
Right.
We had, you know, the French had to come in and help us out. Now, when this all went down, there's also been some reporting that the military went in like crazy to go, you know, search for their guys, and God bless them for that. But let's also try to discuss, to a certain extent, what precipitated this. Why was this necessary? Who ordered this? Why?
I don't know. Yeah.
Because Senator McCain has some questions. I can tell you that.
Oh, so he's not sure. He thinks that maybe one of 45's hacks did something weird and
somebody
got everybody killed.
Somebody to do something that was risky, and they were, in fact, there was some chatter that they were warned about this. And this is the kind of behavior you see on a consistent basis that gets people killed.
All right, so...
you have a bloviating, blowhard, orange shit stain that keeps running his mouth about how great he is against ISIS. And if the reason there's... You know, look, I told you this 2 days ago. Mattis came out. They prepared their statement. They acknowledged what happened. It was sent to the White House into a black hole.
Yeah, well, I you know... Are a couple of generals the only thing standing between us and World War III?
I believe so.
And we don't even know where the generals really are on some of this. I mean, so it's really just, someone has handed us a handkerchief in the middle of a hurricane to hold on to.
Oh, no. They handed us a Q-tip.
I thought it was just something to, you know...
That should get some of that stuff up for you. Here you go.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Right. So.
We all had fun. It was fun. We all had fun. I threw the paper towel, the softest paper towel.
Oh God.
I threw them, and everyone was laughing and smiling.
Sir, I hear there's a new Trump wipe over toilet paper.
I give myself a 10.
What about your new toilet paper? How's that coming? Here at the Moose Turd Cafe, we're going to serve up a Trump salad here today. And here's the thing about it is you have no idea what's in it.
I'll frack fucking fluid on the side, everybody.
You know, and you don't have any idea what's in it or what's coming. I mean, you know, you put it in your mouth and your head could blow off. You know, it really could. Or you could just have, you know.
Teeth, your teeth could just completely fall
or
out.
Or it could turn out to be an ass rocket of some sort. You know, I mean, yes. You just don't know, okay, what's going to happen. But I tell you, you know, when you eat this breakfast here, I call it 45 caliber breakfast here. You know, I want to promise you that even no matter what he does at noon or 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. or whenever, you know, he you know, takes his injection, okay, and gets going. You'll be able to handle it. You'll be able to handle it. You know, suppose World War III actually does start. Hey, by the way, I heard a new, you know, it's a new interview or a little snippet of interview with Bob Dylan, who keeps saying, you know, really cool things that he said 50 years ago, you know. Like you said, what's going on with Mr. Trump? And Dylan says he's got World War III blues. And they said, what do you mean? He says, well, he sees himself walking around with no one else. He only sees himself walking around with no one else.
The cockroaches.
Yeah, right, you know. Well, I mean, it's the ultimate in narcissism, right? The World War III blues, you know, you're just walking around. It's in your head, right?
Yeah. So. I am the everything. I know everything.
And I believe they're going to, him and the Republicans are going to, you know, they're going to shove it up our behinds here on taxes.
Well, they just approved that last night in the Senate.
So there we go.
Forward. The tax, you know, it's a $4 trillion.
Oh, get ready, poor budget. Hey, poor people.
But,
you have
everything's being, you know, everything's being funneled. You know, hey, they had a. By the way, David Roll, you're an asshat.
Whoa,
shut
David!
Your mouth.
David, what? Whoa! He's a regular in the cafe, man. Come on, what'd he do?
No, David Wohl, this guy that was on, he was a Trump surrogate on Ari Melber yesterday, and I just, once again, hey, look at how great, he's doing everything, and there's enough the restrictions, and the economy is flourishing, and everybody's going to get $4,000, really?
Yeah, right.
Really? Because I ain't getting any of that money, Mr. Wohl.
No, yeah, yeah.
It ain't coming down. It ain't trickling down here, pal.
I don't think most people are going to buy that one. You know, they've been trying to sell that ever since Reagan, and it just don't work.
It's just the same shit. It's like, you know what? Do me a favor. Crawl out of Grover Norquist's ass for a moment and realize that people are dying, you shitbag.
Yeah, that doesn't bother. People are always dying. That doesn't bother them. You're not going to get to them with that. They don't care.
Well, it's I know. It's that old thing, a cartoon.
What we need is a judgment. We need a John Lee Hooker judgment. You know, on the entire you know, ball of whatever here that's going on. I'm just terribly afraid that, you know, Abraham Lincoln. Now, Abraham Lincoln, in order to preserve the Union, decided against the advice of Thaddeus Stevens, which was to hang all the Confederate officers, you know, on the road from Washington to Richmond. Okay, and as a, you know, because that revolutions or rebellions like that should be suppressed, okay? But Lincoln said no, you know, to that one. That, you know, we had to somehow not turn ourselves.
Well, I mean, you even had.
Maybe he was wrong.
You even had Confederate generals after the war say, you know, let's not make any statues or any, you know, any of that.
Sure.
They came right out and said it. Let's not do, let's move forward and try to heal. A couple of the Confederate generals were on board with the process of attempting to heal the country.
Well, including Lee, you know, who was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know.
Never mind that, because, you know, these are people that believe Jesus was riding a, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex. So.
Of course, you know, here's the problem. You know, if you go the other way, okay, let's say you're Joseph Stalin, right, and you have a rebellion amongst some of the farmers who don't like the government price that has been imposed, and you decide to, instead to make peace, you decide to exterminate them. Well, that leaves, you know, everybody the government kills, they all got relatives. You know, they all got, and then so you're talking about generations of deep hatred. And you ask yourself, and like in the Balkans, right? I mean, why people, you know, when you say, well, why are you fighting Slovakia? And they say, well, you know, 500 years ago, they slaughtered my family. And then we slaughtered them, and I thought, you know, I mean, you know, you get into these things where, I see, right.
And the wheels of war go round and round, round and round, round and round. And the wheels of war go round and round, round and round, and everybody's dead.
Well, you know, and you had that in certain, like, frontier communities, right, you know, where, I mean, the only law was, you know, you live by the code. You live by a code.
John, let me correct you. You said frontier. We don't call it frontier around here. We call it buffering.
Oh, frontier. Yeah, right. I'm sorry. That's true. Yeah, well, you know, you're kind of like that old Gregory Peck movie, On the Beach, you know, when you're with Frontier. You know, it was the last network standing. Look, it doesn't work at all, you know. We went to Australia in order to, we thought maybe that would be the last place the cloud would reach. But still,
I thought I'd come in and comment on.
Dr. Lecter, welcome to the cafe. Well, we've been trying your sauces, and they're going over just like gangbusters.
Well, I thought as much. However, I have a real problem if you cannot access my recipes online.
Oh. Ooh, that's true. Well, we have the back door.
Ooh, man, know. That guy gives me the creep.
One of the problems with the cafe we've noticed recently, though, is that the actions that do take place later in the day cause people to come back, and they have to get a little bit stronger breakfast than they got the day before.
Right.
That, you know, now that's you know.
Yeah, instead of having just one moose turd, they order two.
Right.
And then it's always Lecter's special sauce.
It's, right. You know, special sauce. He's got to add a little, you know, kick it up like Emeril, you know, a bit, you mm-hmm. know.
Bam! Bam!
Oh, man.
That's the easiest impression. That's the easiest. Anybody can do that impression.
That's right.
Bam!
That's right. So here I am. I'm the father of a Marine, you know, killed in Niger. And I get a phone call from the President of the United States.
Right.
And in which, you know, he says he's sorry to tell me this news. And then he says, yeah, but that's what he bought in for, right?
He knew what he's signing up for. It's still sad, I guess. That's not what it says on the script, moron! Just read the script the way I wrote it! God!
I know. Anyway. So, John P. And then the whole Kelly contract. I mean, I don't know. God, that guy. I wouldn't want to be his wife.
When he talks about that Florida representative lady that's a legislator, you don't really have any standing to say anything to her because it was her program, her pilot program in Florida that helped this kid develop in his life. She basically has been part of that family from the very beginning. Well, David Johnson entered into that program as a young man, and that's right. What caused him to go the military route.
Right.
So, you know, for the widow to have the president on speakerphone, she was with in the comfort of what she thought was her family. So as much as I respect Mr. Kelly and his service, you cannot attack her for that.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that that's a very private thing. She felt as if it was a private thing, but she also felt that her family members needed to hear the president. So, you know, maybe you need to go back and revise the script, Mr. Kelly. So, it's unfortunate. No one knows how they're going to speak to someone that's going through such horrific grief and unimaginable pain.
Sure. Well, there's a way to do it.
But there is a subtlety and a nuance to that type of communication that does not exist within that human being.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm apparently not. I mean, we have a lot of it's clear that there is a very narcissistic personality, you know, at work here in the
look what happened. Front. Look, everything's happening to me.
And I mean, that's the way his
for me.
Yeah.
Me.
And these reports that he's, you know, gets furious, you know, at various people all the time. You know that. I mean, I sometimes wonder about
those.
Hates
everyone in the White House. So.
So yeah, I mean, it's very. I guess we're going to see how it's going to, because things are going to get worse. I mean, I personally believe the international situation is going to take us apart. But I'm really interested in the fact
Case McLaughlin here.
Oh.
Case McLaughlin here.
Oh, McLaughlin. What's up, man? What's your analysis?
McLaughlin here, Mr. Case.
Yeah, good. Well, okay. I heard you, McLaughlin. What are you, deaf?
You spent a lot of time on this issue. Go to the next issue. Next issue. Mortimer.
What issue?
Mortimer. Morty.
How about the issue of you as a, incompetent host? I never liked you. I'm sorry.
He left.
Well, you know, God, he didn't even...
Hey, wait a second. Chris Matthews here, John. Hey, wait a second. Mr. McLaughlin was a good guy.
Yeah, could you
tell me some things that I don't know.
Could you spit in this little filter here? We're going to add it to our sauce.
Hold on.
Dr. Lecter wants to use some of your spit for something.
Hey, Case.
What?
Listen. Settle down.
Shut up and eat your breakfast.
I want to ask you a question, Mr. Case.
Yeah, really?
How do you feel about the sacrifice of some of these brave men and women? Well, let me tell you how you feel, because I know.
It was for nothing. That's the problem. That's the tragedy.
He always
that's
asks the question and then answers it for you, for
yeah,
himself.
Right. Oh, I know. He's ridiculous, you know, so. You know, he appeals to the same crowd that Trump did.
I was watching Chris Matthews, and I was like, "Oh, way to carry the water for him, you jerk!"
You know, Stewart said yesterday an interesting thing that is true. It was true of every union campaign I was ever involved in, and that is, there's about a third of the people that want to be told what to do. And that's true. I would say that, you know, we would run into that little syndrome. I don't know whether it's a pattern, call it that, in every union campaign, you know, that the unwillingness to challenge authority really seriously was and the urge to align oneself with authority. Okay. Very powerful, you know, with a certain group, but it's usually a minority, all right? It's not a majority. And then you got, you know, a bunch of other people that are a little bit more naturally rebellious and do their own thing and whatever. And then you got a bunch of people in the middle that wait and see who's stronger. I mean, and they would like to go with their conscience, but, you know, they're also...
So are we breaking this down to a third, and a third? Is that what we're...
Yeah, it's like muffins, birds, and horses. I know, it's not scientific, okay, but...
I know, I was just...
It's like one of these observations, and you sit there with these right-wingers that come along, right? Oh, Hitler had 30% support.
Yeah, I think I don't know the numbers on Mussolini, but I should look it up. Really, you know, I mean, about how these forces, even in a democracy, these forces arise, you know, as a result of crises in their societies, right? And you end up with this, oh my God, you know, I mean, this taking responsibility as a citizen, that whole ideal from the Enlightenment, well, that requires a somewhat enlightened individual to participate fully, you know. I mean, there's a problem there, you know. And maybe it's not just enlightenment, it's also, it's some kind of values thing that's passed through families.
Once you start to unpack it, it becomes, I think, more not just enlightenment. I think it becomes a general overall lack of understanding of exactly how legislation affects you.
Well, on the political level, yeah, but you see it in other you see it in other areas. You see it in art,
sure.
Right?
There's no doubt about that.
I mean, think about the number of dramas as opposed to sort of action flicks, for example, that actually move you. That were, you know, in other words, that were produced well enough to you know, really connect with you, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how it's a small number. All right, because, you know, there's so much, you know, we want, I must be the pressures of modern society or something, you know, we want what we call an escape, right? We want to get into another universe where everything works out, you know, according to our narrative in our head.
Yeah, Marvel isn't that successful for no reason.
Right. I mean, there's something going on, you know, that's that we don't, I don't think we understand entirely, that's for sure. But at the cafe, you know, one of the reasons why we serve you up a good slice of moose turd pie here.
Well, it doesn't have to be, I'm going to push back on, it doesn't have to be pie.
There's other recipes.
It could be savory, it could be sweet, it's just depending upon how the chef is feeling.
Right, we could have a dog bottom stew. I mean, okay, that can happen, okay, I understand. What was the, Utah Phillips used to make, one of his compadres used to make pheasant sweat. You know, chopped up little birdie feet is a great little garnish, you know, on something.
That's a lovely sparrow.
I just want the feet.
Sorry, little buddy.
I just want the feet. Well, okay, this is like probably a Donald Trump thing. You know, I just want the feet. You let them keep flying.
He'll be able to fly. Just won't be able to land.
I know, man. Oh, God Almighty.
It's like Trumponomics.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, right. And
hey, that's a good phrase, Trumponomics.
Trumponomics, yeah. Trumponomics. It's, I just don't know whether we can... Can we handle it? Is it going to be time to take a little blue pill before? Maybe it's time to get back into LSD since that Trump is president. I remember when Nixon was president, that was the main thing that people thought would be good, was
good
to get
morning,
so
Anderson,
effing high
please,
that
please,
you...
Mr. Anderson, take the red pill.
Yes.
In which you will get up each day and go to work and pay your taxes and live out the rest of your life.
Yeah, or
take the blue pill or the red pill,
and you can have, you know, look at all these hot babes that Timothy Leary is hanging out with.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh man, Timothy Leary made a movie one time, and I think he called up Hugh Hefner or somebody, and they sent him some employees, whatever. To, you know, to make a movie with him, and tune in, turn on, drop out, you know, love, not war, make love, not war, whatever, and you know, a little, you know, Grateful Dead or something more ethereal even in the background. And then Timothy was, I never actually heard him speak except until he was ruined later and became a comedian.
Yeah.
I heard him in Boston. He was actually pretty good. Yeah. He was funny. He was very funny, actually.
Everyone stopped laughing at Eric Cartman because someday... Oh, wait, Eric Cartman is president. Never mind.
Yeah, right. But, you know, it was... the Nixon times were, you know, I mean, there was this repression going on. I mean, they went out... The FBI went out and basically slaughtered the Black Panther Party.
You have to say that the way Sarah, don't smile, Huckleberry, Sadness says it.
What?
The FBI!
Oh, yeah.
I got hit in the eye. FBI.
You know,
you
can tell how evil, you know, her father is, or her uncle. Is Huckabee her father or her uncle?
Yes, father.
You know, because look what he raised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know.
The interesting thing is he wasn't always that way.
Who, Huckabee?
If you go back and look at some of the activity in some of the legislation he signed as a governor of Arkansas, he wasn't always the way he is now. He's just he's a paid shill. He's a pundit.
What, did he have a heart attack or something and someone paid his medical bills?
No, he was just a little bit more moderate. He wasn't the asset he has become. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think much of him.
Oh, no. I mean, he's horrible. I mean, they're all horrible. I'm sorry. I mean, there's no excuse for any of them. The only one I even have the slightest appreciation for a little bit is Bush.
Yeah, by the way, congratulations to... Oh, God, this is going to be hard to say. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers for making it to the World Series.
Whoa. The Dodgers. I mean, why, are you an anti-Dodgers person? Oh, God. Come on, man.
MLB wants the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series for the ratings. That's why the goddamn umpires suck so bad. They're steering this thing.
Really? You think so?
Yes, and they've consulted Vince McMahon, so...
Oh, that's weird.
I'm kidding. I mean, that's what it looks like.
Now, that's a major accusation. I mean, that...
I know. I'm being flip. I'm kidding. All right? Before a bunch of people jump on my ass about this, I'm kidding.
Okay. Maybe. Kidding. You're kidding.
The American League Championship Series is tied up 2-2, and the Yankees and the Astros played today.
Wow. Okay, so if it's the Yankees and the Dodgers, it'll be like we can replay, you know, 50-year-old films, you know.
It's going to be, this harkens back to a day of old when baseball and blah, 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 blah. Shut up.
Play ball. Anyway,
I'm still reeling from the Nationals' loss.
I know. It was a heartbreaker.
I'm still hoping they don't blow the team up, but there's been some indication that they're going to remove Mr. Baker as manager, which is probably stupid.
Yeah,
in my opinion, I think Dusty's. There's not a lot of good quality managers out there. There was some speculation that he had already been signed to a 2-year extension, but I don't know that that's true. Just hear it from some of my own sources that he'll be still be the manager, and I'm hoping he will be. I think there's still a good base core of a team there. You have still have some really good ball players. My hope is that the Nationals get in as a wild card team next year and have to have a play-in game.
Yeah.
You know, that one, you know, and then they beat that team and then they end up going crazy and just running through everybody.
Well, okay.
But I don't know. You know, we'll see.
You think we had every
opportunity to win that series and we blew it.
I know. It's tough.
We blew it. There was a couple of missed plays in the outfield, some bad pitching from some ace pitchers that we didn't think was possible, and here we are, home again, watching everybody else play. So.
Wow. Wow. So it turns out Obama made a speech yesterday, too. I haven't listened to that yet.
I watched the speech. Yeah, it was a good speech. You're easily reminded of how effective he is as speaker.
Yeah. So, well, that's interesting that they're both of them are getting out into the playing field again.
Well, and they both spoke on kind of parallel issues.
Yeah. And I hear that Clinton and Bill and Bush were on a TV program somewhere. I haven't heard that either. You know, but
I could just tell you this.
Bill, thanks for calling in, man. Tell us about it.
John, I appreciate everything you guys are doing. You're a change agent. You have been for a long time, and I will tell you I appreciate that. And so does my wife. And frankly, I think we're seeing just a mess. This is an awful mess. You know, I have some reservations about appearing in a show, talking on a show that's called The Moose Turd Cafe.
Really? I thought you'd feel at home there, buddy. Arkansas show.
I'm not a big fan of that kind of language, sir. But I certainly I'm a little bit frightened about what's going on, Mr. Case.
Me too, Mr. President. Yeah.
What's happening, however, I think we can stay strong and resist some of the awful legislation that's being presented.
Yeah, have you tried our stiffener breakfast, Mr. President? It might help.
Well, Mr. Case, I don't think I need to go into prowess.
I didn't mean that sort of stiffener. Mr. President, I apologize for raising that subject.
I really don't.
No pun intended.
That's never actually been an issue, but I certainly appreciate your hospitality.
Well, thank you so much for coming into the cafe this morning and helping us out, pal.
I'm going to go ahead and run off now and,
Good luck. Good luck with everything you're doing.
See if I can finish the paper and this delicious cup of coffee.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man. Yeah. Dr. Lecter prepared that cup of coffee, okay.
Wow.
He's on the money this morning. Yeah, man. I thought.
Hey, well, I tell you.
Oh, whoa, Governor! Governor!
Okay.
It's Governor Jim Justice, jackass number two.
Hold on, I'm gonna stand up now. Hold on.
Oh, holy moly!
Take just a few minutes here.
You got to get it, man. You got to get it.
Because I done did it.
Yeah, you have done did it, Governor. Oh, boy, You done did it, man. You laid an egg.
I done did it. I get it.
You tricked everybody. You tricked everybody. Yeah.
Tricked y'all. Yeah. So right. Stupid. You done talk about how educated you ain't nothing.
Yeah, I know. You don't need it. Why don't we get a herd of elephants down there to govern instead? The people.
Hey, you just shut up for a second. Let me speak.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I got something I want to say.
You're kidding. I hope it's going to come out the front end.
I told my chief of staff. Wait a minute. I didn't tell him nothing. I just went ahead and switched parties back to where I belong.
Well, you got yourself a road bond. Uh-oh. Sorry about that, Governor. Too much, huh? It seems like every time he leaves, it's a result of,
I know. It sounds like
talking through a tube again, you know?
Yeah, it sounds, it doesn't sound good, man.
I mean, how many doctors would it take to deal with that?
To fix the justice.
Yeah. To render Jim justice.
Gotta render some of that fat back out of there.
Render Jim justice. I'm gonna render Jim some justice.
speaking of rendering someone that long.
Ah, yes, of course. Well, the coffee.
I agree. I definitely would suggest that you use an exterior function and fire made of hickory wood.
The exterior function. Was that? Is that something? Something hanging from the lamppost?
The chef will be cooking him outside.
Because, you know, I guess, you know, boy.
It's an exterior move.
I guess we should. Maybe we could have.
By the way, we just passed the top of the hour 10 minutes ago, everybody. It's Friday here at the Moose Turd Cafe with your original host and dusty-footed philosopher, Mr. John Case, and his sometime crazy sidekick. I don't know what the hell his name is.
Mike Diesel. On loan from history to us. Anyway, it's a.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America. And all the ships at sea, planes in the air, and vehicles on the ground.
Hey, here's an interesting story. FDR, are you there?
No, he left.
Oh.
He just came in for a quickie.
Quentin Tarantino says that he knew of Weinstein's sexual misconduct.
Quentin probably participated.
What I did was marginalize the incidents. What does that mean?
Well, you know, I just but the bigger factor is, you know, look, this kind of behavior is not isolated, you know, it's not isolated to Hollywood, it's systemic. It's a systemic societal issue that needs to be talked about. And it needs to be handled at a very young age. But because of morality and fear, no one wants to talk about it at a young age. The pressure to not talk about it. The pressure to, you know, prey on it. These kinds of issues have to be discussed. And they have to be discussed early on. That type of behavior has to be recognized early on in a human being. Because if it's not discussed, you get what we have, a systemic issue. You know, there are predators in every walk of life. And we have to be mindful of them and aware of them. And people have to call them out.
Well, you know, it's. I'm trying to consider, you know, the atmosphere in which employees, for take any employer situation, right? You know, where a manager, you know, makes unwelcome advances or tries to trade sex for promotion or something.
Seen it up close and personal.
Right. Yeah. And. And so then, you know, a victim of this, you know, protests, and there's some mechanism set up where one may protest in a confidential manner, and then it would have to be confidential, though, right? In a way, that's the real problem.
That's the problem right there, situationally. In you know, you're talking about a manager, you know, in a generic sense, we're talking about a manager somewhere out there in some function or another that has certain responsibilities that other upper managers look at that manager as, oh well, he's key. We got to have him, you know, on the front line.
We just can't replace him. Yeah.
No, he's irreplaceable, which is crap.
Well, I mean, it all that means is he's expensive to replace. In other words, you know, that could be.
This would cost us too much.
Or he has pull with somebody that's on the board of directors. Okay.
Right. He knows something that.
Or he has information that he could betray to a competitor or to the government that would you know,
he could compromise upper level.
Yeah, right. Sure. You know, there's a, you know, pact there. Sure. It's kind of like the mafia. You know, and so.
Hey! Wait!
Whoa! I'm sorry. I made the wrong word.
Whoa! Hold on a second. All right.
Is this Tony Two Toes?
Listen, my name's not important. It's what's important is you remember that I was here. That's all I'm saying, all right? The point being is, Mr. Case.
Yes.
We don't behave that way. I wasn't raised. You got to respect, okay? A little bit of respect.
Yeah, oh, okay.
A little bit of common decency.
All right. That's all
I'm saying.
All right, man.
You know, like I was telling this guy the other day before I stabbed him in the neck.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. I gotcha.
Looked at him and said, look, you know, I'm at the end of my rope with you, you know? You had every opportunity to behave correctly. And unfortunately, and then it was over. Boom. Done. Gone. No one's ever going to see that guy again. That's the thing.
I got
you. It's a real shame.
It is a shame, and I hope you, what about his family? Did you do anything for them, or are they out in the cold, just tough, you know? What?
You're going to be taken care of, all right?
All right.
Don't worry about it. I don't know nothing about you or your home or your caboose in your backyard or your garden
yeah.
or what time your wife goes to work or how many times you drop her off at the train station. I don't know nothing about any of that.
I got you, buddy. So listen, can I do you a favor?
Hey, you could do me any kind of favor.
Well, let me know how I can help you out, okay?
Well, listen,
I'm here to
serve. You're not going
to
hear me or see me coming, but when I'm there, boom, I just show up, all right?
Okay, man. Well, listen, I'll save a salami in the fridge for you, okay?
Yeah, you do that. Make sure some gabagool, all right? I got to have my gabagool.
Gabagool.
You heard me. I said gabago.
Gabago?
Jesus.
What, a gob
look,
of
look,
go?
I'm done. I gotta go. Bye.
Tony's gone. Man. Damn, man.
Well, I don't know what to call him. I don't, you know, he's just not really, it's the man of the name we do not speak. I can't.
Yeah.
He just kind of shows up.
Well, you know.
Arbitrary.
Yeah, right. I mean, he harkens back to a time when, you know, you had to settle matters, you know, man to man. Okay, so. Otherwise, they don't get settled.
I thought of, because this is a physical, I was wondering how it would go on the air as a voice to have the Reverend Jim Ignatowski from Taxi comment on our current situation.
The Reverend, I think if the Reverend, I'm trying to...
Mr. Case, okie doke, you want to cut taxes for the rich?
Okay. Yeah, man. Okay.
Wow. That was.
That's pretty good. I like that.
That was.
That rings a bell. It's been a long time since I, you know, remember the taxi program, but.
That's an old one.
Yeah. But.
I thought I'd dig deep this morning because it's Friday, everybody.
I think you know you might think about bringing back to life, you know, an Elmer Gantry character of some sort. You know, where you know, the preacher gone crazy, or the crazy man gone preacher.
Because the Lord will send his thundering gospel down upon you.
Or crazy preacher just gone.
I would suggest you load your gun immediately.
That's right.
Take that gun out into the field and fire it upon the government. That government's tyranny has to stop here, and it has to stop now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Christian Rama.
What?
Well, you know, I mean.
I don't have it. I just have a slingshot.
David and Goliath, that's where we're at, man. David and Goliath.
Yeah.
I have an emerging theory about the terrorism phenomenon.
Booster Cafe emerging theory. Booster Cafe emerging theory.
Well, it has to do with the fact that globalization has made war between nations very, very difficult. Okay, to pursue. And therefore, nonetheless, you have all these global inequality, I'll just call it for lack of a better term,
you know, aggravating.
I want to kill you and your whole family, but don't I buy carrots from you?
And so then you get these factions that develop, right, that figure that, you know, they can't take, there's no national military action to be taken, but there is all of this, you know, turn the existing situation into chaos.
Sure.
And make it ungovernable. Governable, yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
You know,
hey, everybody, I don't know what the hell just
ungovernable. And there's a word in there somewhere. You could just, guys, if you could just unmarble it out, then I'm sure you can, you know, it'll all work out okay.
Ungovernable.
Yeah, you can't, impossible to govern.
Yeah, it's impossible to govern.
You know, like the Palestinian territories, you know, impossible to govern.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And I'm wondering whether or not constantly
run the PR campaign that the people who are involved in it are the ones that are creating a problem, when the whole while you're stirring the soup.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then you have these situations where people, you know, the democracy kind of fails. I mean, it's been corrupted in some ways, or bought and paid for in so many circumstances, or too many circumstances, that there's no outlet now anymore for, you know, what became, you know, the inconveniences and the minor injustice now becomes, you know, outright oppressive, right? And you know, people start to resist in weird, you know, and they find whatever way there is. And so I'm just wondering whether these extreme...
John.
Oh, Bernie. Okay, I'm glad you joined us. Maybe you can help out. Go ahead.
Stop in here. We have a great deal of concentrated wealth in the same location. And those people will do anything. I mean anything. To continue to hold on to the concentrated wealth. This isn't right. It isn't moral. And it's a very, very difficult legislative lift. But the good news is, and there is good news, the resistance is organized. More organized than it has ever been. And we are strong and we are moving forward. Because, John, as I have said many times on the air and off the air, enough is enough.
Well, okay, Bernie. Senator Sanders, thank you. Thank you. You once again, you've summarized the essence of the moment here. And, I mean, I think it's going to make it possible, having consumed a cafe breakfast of, you know, goat. You know, goat water comes out of a goat.
Delicious.
You know.
And then, darling, what you want to do is you want to dig an angled cut on the moose turd and lay it just so in the frying pan and possibly use olive oil.
Yes, right. I know. And, salt it up there, kid. Anyway, so I think the rest of the, you know, you know people are going to have a good time today, no matter what.
Yes, now that you've consumed your dose.
Yeah, no matter what happens later on today. World War III may start, okay? It could. It's out of our hands.
If you're anywhere during today or the weekend and you hear this...
Right. And, you know, the stock market appears to be, you know, somehow...
It's up, baby. It's up. They're all excited. The stock market, everybody knows. Stock market. Shut up.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the economy is still expanding. Not very fast, but it is expanding.
Not fast at all.
The
numbers are certainly not. It's not helping the argument when the expansion is actually in many cases fueled by the clean energy market.
Well, yeah, right. That and healthcare.
They keep healthcare and the energy and they're lying about it.
Yeah, I mean, now they're going to cut all these healthcare subsidies. That's the major industry. That's the major employer in some of these red states.
Yeah,
like West Virginia. It's a big ass big. It's a big deal in West Virginia.
Well, right, and didn't just get a deal with some manufacturer that's moving to the state of West Virginia to create like 120 jobs or something.
Did I? I forget. You know.
I don't know what they. What they.
You know. I see that the anti-fracking demonstration, they had hands across the Potomac there, you know, right?
Mm.
That attracted a couple, what, 100 people? A couple hundred people?
Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
Well, I guess it is.
A good thing. I mean, I don't know that you can pump that kind of fluid into the earth at that speed and not expect any kind of geological fallout.
Well, I know that's it, but that's a question that ought to be answered from an engineering and scientific point of view. Right?
Oh, it's being answered, John. You have locations in the United States that are having earthquakes that never had earthquakes before.
Well, not from pipelines. That's from fracking into the.
About fracking and driving fracking fluid into the earth at that high rate of speed and extracting those gases. There's some consequences for that. Not only that, but there's consequences with regards to where to store the waste and the water and how they just kind of have left sites.
But is the fracking issue the same as the pipeline issue?
I don't know that it's exactly the same. But there's some similarities in terms of the effect on the environment over a long term. You know, I don't know that this type of behavior is sustainable. I mean, there are high-risk locations that have pipelines that have broke. And when they break, all of a sudden, the company's not liable or responsible for cleanup, and then the folks that are, living there or wherever the developed area is becomes, unlivable. Because you can't clean it up.
There is the problem.
Do you really want to take that kind of risk on a consistent basis?
Well, do you want to have, for example, the Department of Commerce, I believe, just somebody was, I read a statement the other day, and I don't think this has been disputed, says that actually with the Inwood facility, Procter & Gamble, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to use up all the existing natural gas that basically comes in from Winchester, I believe, currently. Okay.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Well, they're going to use, so there will be no, there can't be, without the Mountaineer pipeline, that you're not going to have any, you're not going to have any other industrial expansion. Because, there's no power grid for it, So, now I don't know. I mean, see, there you're going to be, I can tell you right now, one of the things that's going to happen right there is that the labor movement will be divided. The labor movement will be divided.
Everything's going to be perfect.
And this is the kind of thing that, where everyone, I don't disagree with all that we should move beyond fracking as fast as we possibly can. I don't disagree with that. On the other hand, turning the lights off and turning the energy on and off, or making it available and reliable, you don't have that, and you're going to have political problems that you never even thought about having, instantaneously, okay? And and so, it's like I remember when the gas prices shot up $1 a gallon one time. I was down in Lynchburg at a doing a gig for Microsoft, and I was at a gas station, and I just all of a sudden that morning, I want to tell you, everybody was lined up, and everybody at the pump was talking politics.
It's amazing, isn't it?
All of a sudden, the hell?
Out of nowhere, they get this, hey, what the hell's going on? Oh, you should have been paying attention.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is what, this process of everybody awakening. I want to tell you, man, the phones now start ringing off the hooks at the representatives' offices. So, you know, and then they say, and then they panic.
Now they panic too. They at the representative's office, you can barely get anybody on the phone, and then when you do, they just talk about how they have to take a message and they'll get back to us, and they never do.
Yeah, I think it's overwhelmed. I think the resistance, in a lot of ways, overwhelmed their. They saw that coming, you know. But, you know, one of the things that happens there on the Republican side is, oh, that's just paid organizers inundating you with stuff, okay?
Right, sure. Sure.
And then,
by the way, John, when are we going to get our check for that? I'm waiting.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Check for me.
Exactly, man. Exactly. That's exactly the thing. Anyway, so no, it's going
to
be.
It's a real difficult situation to be in, to, you know, because both of us, I think what we're trying to say is we can certainly see both sides of the issue.
Yeah, no, I think you're going to see. And one of the challenge we have in leadership is to figure out a way, right? I mean, to balance. You know, the various parts of a majority coalition of some sorts, okay, that aren't going to agree on everything in terms of their priorities, right? You're not going to talk. I'm not interested in convincing Marianne Hitt, you know, to have some other priority besides getting, you know, getting beyond coal. Period. Because that's her mission, and that's the pony she rode in, and that's what she's going to keep riding, you know, and that's a positive contribution in the whole thing. That's it's an important issue, right? But on the other hand, there is also the question.
Every bit as important as clean water.
But the other thing is that if you want to get a big enough coalition to win, okay, you've got to figure out a way to pay the losers, you know, that are going to happen in a conversion of one kind of economy to another kind of economy, or one kind of energy-based economy to another one. That's a big structural shift that impacts millions and millions of people and enterprises, okay? And so you know, when you do something like that, you know, you're rocking a big boat, you know, in the economy. You have to do it incrementally, because you do not know what the impact
Germany
may be.
Did a nice job of retraining a lot of their workers.
Well, yes, they
really
did.
There's
they
a
did.
Great story. I don't know where, I can't remember exactly what it is, like Economics Today or something, but it was a heavy lift. Mm-hmm. People don't realize how difficult it was for them to do what they're doing.
I know.
To retrain people that had been, you know, working at a specific job for a very long period of time. First and foremost, they stopped doing their job, and they're kind of lost, and then they have to go to school to be retrained all over again. And that's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not.
I mean, it would be very much like my younger brother trying to train me up on how to work in commercial HVAC. I probably couldn't do it. Because, you know, I pick things up and I put them down.
Hey, man, we're getting close to our hour here.
Are we at the bottom of the hour?
We're kind of there. We're having a good time, but
we're having fun and chatting here at the Booster Cafe.
We probably
might run a little bit over today, but that's okay.
That's okay. That's okay. We had a good time. I'll probably post a little bit later the George W.'s speech here. I think it's an interesting.
I think you should.
It's an interesting kind of a counterpunch there, you know, from the.
He certainly was talking about bullying, and he talked about, you know, the nation's journalism and, you know, the effect of facts and the fact that you have to face the music. I will give him credit that, you know, he did come and visit with Gold Star families, and he was chewed out on national television. And stood right there and listened to everything the woman had to say. right to his face. And
now George on his own could handle himself. And it was weird. I thought he was so weird because he was on message so much of the time, right? You know, everything was scripted. Everything. All right.
Right.
And he's a believer, obviously, in that kind of politics, actually, too. You know, that's
he pulled the game. You know.
But on the other hand, when you'd get him at times when he was off script, he didn't sound dumb.
No,
you know, and he didn't sound,
days after the 9/11 tragedy that he visited a mosque in D.C. and came out with the leaders, the Muslim leaders, and said, "This, you know, these are Americans."
Yeah, and I think there was that impulse in him. You know,
I think he felt as if that, you know, unity was key to what they wanted to do, and unfortunately, they did some things that to this day, we're still.
Yeah.
Still feeling and reeling from.
On the other hand, I mean, he got, he brought that whole Cheney and what's his dog, Rumsfeld team in there. And the Iraq experiment was just.
I heard he had heart surgery again.
George W.?
No, Cheney.
Oh, really?
They actually installed one this time. So stupid. It's been done before. Good night, everybody.
Anyway. All right. That's a good way to wind it up there, buddy. All right.
I think that's it. And everybody try to have a good weekend. And again, I'll say this. There's a lot of lonely dogs and cats out there, and they didn't do that to themselves. So let's be aware of that and mindful.
All right. All right. Take care of each other,
okay,
everybody.
Buddy, thank
it's
you.
Late.
Take care. Bye.
Everything's next. Bye-bye.